You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. We started the day talking to Eddie George, the new coach at Tennessee State, and our final hour begins with Seth Walder, who has also been the topic of conversation here for 3 hours. When we began the program, we shared with you his FPI rankings, and he is now here live in living HD to attempt to explain it. Seth, great to have you on. And before we start going through this, I think it's important to let the audience know you just didn't roll out of bed this morning and come up with these things. There is a system to it. And how do you arrive at these rankings?
Yeah, no, our statisticians have been working hard on this for quite some time. But the model incorporates a whole bunch of different factors, right? You're talking about recent history for teams. You're looking at who is coming back. What kind of production are they returning? You're looking at whether their head coach is back. That obviously provides stability. And you're looking at recruiting, not just last year or the year before, but all four of the last 4 years, to determine how much talent is on the roster. You look at all those things, you put it together, and that's how we arrive at our predictions for what's going to happen in 2021.
So there's a lot to ask you, and I don't want to bury the lead. The lead starts at the beginning, and how did Alabama end up number one?
Yeah, I don't think it's a surprise to most people. Some folks, maybe you feel like, well, wait, they lost Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Patrick Surtain. The list goes on, but it's still Alabama, and I don't mean that from the sense of the name brand of the team. But I just talked about how can, you know, the talent that you have on the roster, the recruiting. No team can replace talent quite like Alabama. Over the last 4 years, they have 77 top ESPN top 300 recruits. That's 11 more than any other team in the country. So even though they're losing all this talent, you just know that the players on this team are going to be able to perform. And so that's why we make Alabama number one. That's why they're an odds-on favorite to win the SEC. They have about a 76% chance to reach the playoff and a 31% shot to win the national championship. So they are the favorite, though, of course, that still leaves 69% for other teams to win the national championship.
If I read your ranking correctly, and I never have been able to in the past, but it looks like Lincoln Riley's Oklahoma team is next. Why?
Yeah, this, I think, is going to be Lincoln Riley's best shot yet here. So I just talked about Alabama's ability to replace talent, but they're really the exception to the rule. The thing you want to have going into the season, of course, is a returning quarterback and a good returning quarterback. And Oklahoma has that in Spencer Rattler, and they're able to do it in a year where you're catching Clemson and Ohio State without that ability. Obviously, Oklahoma's going to have an explosive offense, but this is a team, too, that also had top five defense in efficiency last season. We think it's going to take a little bit of a step back this year, but it's still not going to be like a huge liability. You pair that with an excellent offense, at least what we predict, and we think that Oklahoma has a 26% chance to win the national championship. Their chance to reach the playoff is almost as high as Alabama, 73%. It's not quite on that level, but I do think that Oklahoma, legitimate contender. FPI is kind of planting its flag on Oklahoma this year.
Interesting. And last year, we saw Texas A&M nipping at a playoff berth. Florida wasn't far away until the SEC championship game. Georgia never quite materialized. What about this year?
Yeah, I think that A&M is probably a big threat. If you're looking at who's a threat to Alabama, A&M, we have ranked the highest. We have A&M sixth in that group there. And in fact, the Alabama A&M regular season contest, that is the game that we have as the highest impact on the playoff race of any scheduled game, not just in the SEC, but across the country this year. We give Alabama a 65% chance to win that game. But, you know, you just don't see a lot of games where Alabama only has a 65% shot to win. So A&M's a threat, but Georgia's more likely to win the SEC than A&M because they're in the opposite division. We have them ranked 7th. They're a 69% chance to win the SEC East. I will say this, Paul, you know, I'm a big believer in our models, but if there's one team that maybe we're underrating, I can see an argument for Georgia because of JT Daniels, the way they finished last season. He only played 4 games, so it's not going to, you know, have a huge impact on the model that way. But if you believe that what we saw last year was the real deal, then maybe we would be underrating Georgia. I would think that would be fair.
Seth Walder with FPI. Seth, usually a surprise team is maybe somebody who's right outside of our stream of consciousness. But this one, I must tell you, I'm still on the floor trying to figure out Mississippi State in the top 10. Please explain.
Paul, you're not alone. I got these rankings probably 10 days ago, and you know, you're kind of going down the list. Okay, you see Alabama, you see Clemson, you see Ohio State. Whoa, Mississippi State right there. It blew me away too. Okay, and there's a few different things going on, but I understand, first and foremost, this is absolutely shocking. Mississippi State, I don't think anyone thought of as being in the top 10. So here's what's going on. Number one, their defense. They finished 18th in defensive efficiency last year. If that surprises you, remember that we are accounting for opponent's strength. You play in the SEC, it's going to look a little bit worse than it really is. They're bringing back a lot of experience in the secondary, so we think that defense is actually going to take a step up this year. But the offense, I understand there's a huge question because the offense was not good no matter what you adjust for. And here's what's going on. It's a little counterintuitive, but if you have a quarterback that has a lot of experience or you have a quarterback that got experience early in their career, those are players that have a decent shot to take a big jump next season. Mississippi State has two of those in Jack Abraham and Will Rogers, and you're just looking for one of them, really just what's the chance that one of them can make that leap? And we think there's a decent shot that they do so and they could really elevate that offense. You add in that they've been solid in recruiting. Top 25 last year, according to ESPN, top 25 the year before that, just outside the top 25 the year before that. That doesn't put you on par with the Alabamas or the Georgias, but compared to the rest of the country, their recruiting is solid. You can put that all together and we get Mississippi State at 8. But I do want to just say one thing here. There's a difference between rankings and projections. We are predicting Mississippi State to be the 8th best team in the country. However, that also makes them the 4th best team in the SEC. They play a very hard schedule against a lot of very good teams. And so when we project the season, even as good as we think they are going to be, our projection for Mississippi State is about 8-4. And so that's where I think fans should calibrate what we're saying, is that we're saying we think Mississippi State's going to be a lot better this year, and that's going to equate to an 8-4 season.
An 8-4 would be considered good, but is that really going to get you in the top 10? I know you're projecting, but
No. That's a fair question. It's not going to get you like in the top 10 of the AP poll, right? Because we know that in the AP poll, if you lose, you're going to go down. If you win, you go up. It's just poll logic. But what FPI is trying to do is not predict the AP top 10 or AP top 25. It's trying to say, what is your true level of ability? How good are you literally? And it's saying that it thinks that Mississippi State is literally the 8th best team, though that would translate to an 8-4 record against their schedule. Does that make sense?
You have Iowa State. Yeah, it does. And I know a lot of people are clipping this interview. So Mississippi State, in your mind, is the, not forgetting your mind, in the projections mind, is the 3rd best team in the SEC West.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they're the 8th best team in the country, but the 3rd best in their division. That's right.
So ahead of LSU, Auburn, and others, to say the least. Okay, let's get to the really another surprise here, and that's Iowa State.
Yeah, this one was kind of like a milder version of what I described with Mississippi State. It definitely opened my eyes. I wasn't expecting to see them in the top 4. I think it's kind of like a milder version of what I described with Oklahoma, in that they're bringing back Brock Purdy. They had a lot of things go right for them last year. You know, I wrote a story at the end of last season saying Iowa State didn't deserve to be in the playoff conversation. But I think when they're bringing back the talent that they are, including Purdy, and again, same sort of deal where you have Ohio State and Clemson without a returning quarterback, I think Iowa State can be a threat. And projections-wise, they're particularly in a good spot, I think, because the Big 12 doesn't have divisions. They're going to have a tough game against Oklahoma, but they can afford to lose that, still get into the Big 12 championship game, could potentially maybe win that game, be a one-loss champion, and get into the playoff. So I do think that Iowa State is a real legitimate threat to get into the playoff. And 41, you know, I think it's 41% chance there. That's very real. We can give them a fourth best shot to win the national championship. I think they are a surprise team this year in a good way.
And that would be putting both Oklahoma and Iowa State from the Big 12. You also seem to like the SEC. When I say you, meaning the projections, you give the SEC a 95% chance of getting in, but you also give them a realistic shot of getting two schools in.
Yeah, we're used to in the preseason and oftentimes very much in the season seeing the SEC have a real chance to put two teams in. I mean, just the talent in the conference, whether you have, you know, two teams coming out of the West, if it's A&M only losing to Alabama, who wins the SEC championship, or maybe Alabama and Georgia face off and they're both undefeated going into the SEC championship game. There's a lot of ways that you can imagine the SEC getting two teams in. Like you just alluded to, we do think the Big 12, actually, it's feasible because of Oklahoma and Iowa State and the lack of divisions. We think it's about a 1 in 4 chance that they're a conference that puts two teams in here. The thing about the graphic that you're seeing on your screen right here that stands out the most to me, though, is that we give the Pac-12 just a 6% shot to put a team in the playoff. And, Paul, every year I'm used to kind of having a doom and gloom segment on the Pac-12 and why FPI doesn't like them, but it's never been like this. I mean, we only have one Pac-12 team in the top 25. That's Oregon. Both of the Pac-12's best teams, Oregon and USC, have a really rough out-of-conference game against Ohio State or Notre Dame, respectively. And so it really just puts the conference in a bind. It's just very hard to get that conference into the playoff given those circumstances.
Well, I thought this would be more difficult than it was when I first saw this morning, but you answer the questions quite eloquently, Seth. Thank you for coming on. As always, will this be it? Will we have another projection before the season starts, or is this the final one?
No, we'll probably have another one. We do anticipate, because of the weird year, the extra eligibility, there could be a little more shifting between now and August than there usually is. So we'll check back in, see if anything changes. We'll let you know.
So Mississippi State could end up in the top 5. Seth, thank you very much for being with us. Great to have you on. We'll talk about that. We've been talking about it for hours. It's quite extraordinary, but it also means that we are getting relatively close to the beginning of the college football season. We will take a break and get back to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back. We appreciate you being here. And Judge Chris from North Carolina. Been a while. How are you, Judge?
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man? It's been a while.
Doing great.
Yeah. Fascinating interview with Seth there on the rankings and using statistics. I kept thinking, though, two things that I want to sort of lay out to you and get your opinion on. One was, where's Notre Dame? And then secondly, while those numbers say a lot, I don't see anybody beating Alabama without a quarterback playing in an elite level. So maybe your take on those two things.
Yeah, I'll have to double check and see where Notre Dame is. But I tend to agree with you, and I think that's really been the history of the playoff for the most part. That Ohio State went down to its third quarterback in 24. Notre Dame is 11th, by the way. But you do. Although, let me say this: Jay Coker won the national championship for Alabama against your Clemson team 6 years ago, and by no means was he an elite quarterback.
Well, 45-40, but that's I said anybody beating Alabama.
No, you're right.
Alabama is. Yeah, I think Alabama is the team.
Well, let's think about it. Who is
without a lead?
Deshaun Watson beat Alabama, and. Yeah. And Lawrence, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, you're right.
That's it. Oh, by the way, I was watching a rerun the other night. Who ran the ball in the fake field goal try in the Alabama loss to Trevor Lawrence that game?
I don't remember.
Remember the fake?
Oh, yeah, I do remember it.
Mac Jones,
okay.
Mac Jones.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. By the way, I think he's going to be tremendous as a pro. I think he's got all the pluses.
Judge, you really like watching that game, don't you?
Well, it's historic. Who would have thought it? Hey, thank you for being a good listener and being there for everybody during still continuing difficult times. You're an important guy to a lot of people, and including me.
Judge, thank you. All the best to you, and hope to see you soon.
All right.
Great to hear from you. Peter is up next in California. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Paul. I appreciate your show. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
College football fan in California, which is, I'm not a normal person, apparently. just being a college football fan in California. But what I'm calling about is the person who called recently about how mask wearing and COVID ruining college sports. And I just want to put out to people that I am a 59-year-old man. I had COVID in a year ago. I am still feeling really bad effects from it. I can't breathe. My work I have to cut down on. And the gentleman was talking about mask wearing being bad and Michigan having the worst rates. But what I'd have to remind people that population density has a lot to do with it. And if your state has more people, obviously you're going to have a higher rate. And the state I live in has 3,000 more people than live in Canada. So that has to be kind of factored in when people think, well, my state is safe, but others aren't. And the fact that he said that mask wearing is, contributing it, I just had to take.
Peter, I gave up a long time ago battling the COVID issue on the show because.
Right. But you're as the gentleman before said, you're a very good listener.
Well, I mean, I think you have a personal story that is significant, but I think the debate about certain things that he mentioned are long past. And what people do, I mean, I don't mean to be cavalier about it because I never wanted to go through what you went through. And fortunately, mm-hmm. I didn't. But I think, when somebody calls in and says the same thing repeatedly, and is repetitive, then clearly we can discern from that he has an agenda, and clearly his agenda was he's angry about COVID. Well, nobody's happy about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. 100%.
I mean, I'll speak for you and say I wish the two of us had never heard the name. You know, we're still not back to where we were. But, you know, the good news is that we are seeing some light, and that's the important thing.
Yes, we are. And I think it has to do with multiple factors, testing, vaccinations, and people's awareness and, you know, wanting to take care of others as well as themselves.
But, Peter, thank you. You a year ago, there were people like our friend a minute ago who were saying the same thing, and a lot of us disregarded those the admonitions of the professionals, and we got in big trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just calling to, first of all, as the caller right before said, you are a good listener. I don't suffer fools gladly. You are doing an admirable job. And I also wanted to say I didn't call last spring when all of the protests were going on, and I thought that you addressed what was going on admirably.
Thank you, Peter. I will say, and I think almost anyone else who has sat or sits in these positions, that was, on top of COVID, one of the most haunting times that I can ever remember, because the answer that would have been right a year or two earlier or 5 years earlier was not applicable after that, and never will be again.
Yeah, I grew up outside of Chicago, and the neighborhood I lived in was what you could consider affluent. The neighborhood I lived directly next to was what you consider poor. I mean, within a block or two. But I was friends with everyone, and so I grew up in that environment of acceptability and, you know, care for your neighbors and all that. And I'm glad some people are kind of like waking up to that a little bit more. Just paying it lip service is one thing, but to live it is another.
Well, Peter, I do hope that you're the next time we talk, and hopefully that will be soon, you are doing better, but you are an example of the downside of this virus. So you be well and take care of yourself.
Thank you, sir. I just got my first shot. My next is in a couple of weeks.
That is great news, especially in California.
All right,
thank you. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I talked to a friend of mine in California the other day. Was still trying to get it for his mother. Beth is up next. Hey, Beth, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Beth, we're doing great.
Hey, I wanted to, before I start my story, you know, I'm in Birmingham, and I have followed you from the Post Herald through the radio. I've always loved your columns.
Thank you.
And what I want, there was some guy, I think his name was Michael, talking about Bear Bryant and Ken Donahue.
Right.
Okay. Now, I think you and I are around the same age. I don't know. But I don't know if you probably don't remember this because you were probably around my age. But my daddy used to go to the Tutwiler Hotel to something called Smokers.
Right.
Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard of the Tutwiler, but by the time I got to Birmingham, it had already shut down. Now, of course, I remember when it came back later.
Yeah, it did. And I think my mama, I had a sister 2 years older, and I think she wanted to kick us out of the house. Their daddy would take us to, they called the Smokers. I don't know why. I guess everybody smoked.
Probably.
And it was probably just a bunch of Alabama football fans. And for some reason, I don't know why, Ken Donahue was there. And we were in the Birmingham News, not on the front, nothing like the front page, but the picture was, I'll never forget the caption. It said, Tide Coach has pretty listeners. I don't know if we were pretty or not.
That is funny.
We were in the Birmingham, and I think my mother probably still has that picture from the Birmingham News somewhere around here.
That is Beth, thank you for remembering that I used to be a sports writer. it means a lot. the things you never thought you would appreciate later on. We are heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. 30 minutes remaining on what's been a pretty eventful day on this program. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. Final 30 minutes, and you can still get in at 855-242-7285. And let's check out Josh, who is up next. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
That's good to hear. Before I ask my question, I just want to say something funny. You were talking earlier about a story about Bear Bryant. Y'all were talking about young listeners, and he threw out an age, and I thought it was funny. So 20-year-olds aren't listening and calling in, and well, here you go.
Well, I'm glad to hear. And for a minute when I was talking to my friend up in Philadelphia, I thought you had to be on Social Security to get in.
No, I'm here, though. You got a 20-year-old.
Great to hear it.
So I was going to ask you a question and then give a little bit of my two cents and shut up, if that's all right with you.
Of course.
All right, so LSU 2020 football season, do you think that was a one-off, or do you think that that's kind of something to worry about in the future? I kind of think it's a little bit of a one-off, but still there were cracks that, you know, were worrying, like when Ed Ogeron mentioned in that press conference that he didn't even interview anyone, and that was a little worrying to me. I don't know if you – I don't think that's their ceiling, but you know, I think that's not their floor exactly, but I'll shut up and let you.
Yeah. You know, Josh, I'm glad you brought that out. Cause when I heard what Ogeron said there, I was dumbfounded. I understood the context, in a COVID year, but making that statement, particularly after making one of the worst hires in college football last year by bringing Bo Pelini in, it's almost as if he was doubling down on that. And he knew Pelini, of course, but you know, that was really the issue. I mean, forgetting the obvious that, you know, he had to compete with arguably the greatest season in college football history. And on top of that, he loses Ja'Marr Chase. But I agree with you. I think it was a one-off. But there are some very bizarre clouds surrounding that campus, and it has nothing to do with on the field. But all this off the field stuff, you wonder what impact, if any, it will have.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's worrying, but I don't think that's their. I don't know if they can get back. I don't know if anyone can really get to where they were 2019. But you know.
Well, no, I think it was what always bothered me last year a little bit was that Ogeron kept selling the message that they were going to be great, and reasonable people knew they were not going to be. But that is his nature, and I think it can be infectious. And you know, he really believes in himself, and by all means, he should.
I love watching him win.
Yeah, I think the one thing that you have to be concerned about if you're an LSU fan is you already have Alabama and Florida every year on the schedule, and I'm going to state something very obvious. Now you have Texas A&M. You already had Texas A&M, but not this Texas A&M.
I think people have been underrating Texas A&M for too long. I think this year they were really great, and I think I called in during the season earlier and talked a little bit about how A&M's actually much better than they're getting credit for.
Yeah, I think what happened is we focus way too much on what Jimbo Fisher hadn't done and missed the fact that he was building a major contender.
Oh, yeah. Also, you're fighting constantly under the shadow of Alabama. That's what ran, Malzahn out of Auburn, especially. As well as other things. But you're
I agree. I think the Malzahn firing is going to be one of those you put in your back pocket and come back to in a couple of years and go, was that the right decision?
Oh, yeah.
Or did they realize what they were doing?
Right or wrong right now.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for the call.
Right or wrong.
Great to hear
absolutely.
From you.
Thank you. Good 20, to hear from you too.
Josh, you call again now that we know you're 20. Let's talk to Matt, who is up next. Hey, Matt, go right ahead.
Hello?
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Guy called in earlier that I really sympathize with that was, struggling with coronavirus issues and such. And I think the thing that thank you, too. I think the thing that we can take away from this year, it's been a tough year, is that our country, we all need to be able to practice our own forms of medicine and practice our own health practices, whatever that they may be, whether you think that they're right or whether you think that they're wrong. Or whether you think that your health practices are dangerous or whether mine are the best, that this should be, our country should be the one country that says, you know what, you're free to believe what you want to. Instead, we have the CDC partnering with the NCAA saying that there's only one truth. This is what's going on. This is the only truth. You must do this. And you can't do otherwise. I mean, it's I just think that maybe the NCAA should disassociate themselves from any health organizations and just allow and be non-political and let people do what they want.
Well, Matt,
thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let me explain. The NCAA has its own team of advisors, and that's how they came to that conclusion. The CDC is not the final word. The CDC makes recommendations. And thank you for the call, though. So I understand everybody's frustrations about the last 13 months. I mean, we're all in a bizarre place, and we've been through something that most of us have never been through before. But the hope is that we never see it again, and these issues that people are talking about are going to be in the past. Thank you for the call, though. Really appreciate it. Let's check out Joe in Tennessee. Hello, Joe. Go right ahead.
Paul, I was just going to reminisce there, tell you something funny.
Sure.
I got a chance to talk to Whitey Hurst, he asked me, he said, how'd you get me? And then I played in Little League, so therefore, they didn't have very many scouts. And so I was talking to him, and I said, well, I looked in the Yellow Pages. I got him. And then I told him, I said, I've got I pitch left-handed, and I said, I've got a slow natural curve. Oh, that's in season. That's in season back in the 60s. That's in season. That's in season. Oh, I'd like to see that. Well, I thought everything was set up, go up there. And then he asked me, he said, by the way, how old are you? I told him, I said, I'm 40 years old. And he turned around, Paul. He said, "Oh, you over the hill." But I just appreciate it. I mean, he spent time to talk to me.
That is amazing. He was a legend.
Yeah, that's what he did. Oh, yeah. The Cardinals were doing good. I'm still a favorite Cardinal fan and Tennessee Balls. But anyway, I appreciate the time. I just wanted to tell you that.
Well, Joe, thank you for sharing that. That is a very funny story. I grew up, I remember him very well. Let's check in with Mike, who is up next. Hello, Mike. Mike, you there? Something tells me Mike is not there. How about John in Texas? Good afternoon, John. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm well.
You know, it's funny. I was just listening to that story about Tennessee, and I remember as a kid, I was 11 years old, met Johnny Majors in Kingsport, Tennessee, and he says, "Well, you know, boy, you must be a big Vol fan." I said, "No, I'm an Aggie because of Jackie Sherrill." And he said, "What the hell's wrong with you?" And if you remember, you know, Johnny liked to drink a little bit.
Yes, he did.
Was a little bit funny. Yeah, but I was just going to ask you, you know, what's disappointing to me, and I want to get your take on this, is why so many young people are leaving for the NFL without the grades to leave for the NFL. So why, you know, we lost a bunch of players this year that I think we could have used next year, although we're going to be damn good.
I can answer your question very easily.
I'll say that right now.
John, yes, it's unscrupulous agents are doing this. They are feeding this information into players' heads, either directly or indirectly, because I can tell you flat out that Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher and Kirby Smart and Dan Mullen are giving these players honest evaluations. And I know some will say, well, they're trying to keep them on campus. They're not going to. They know they have to have integrity because these guys talk to other guys. So they give them a very honest evaluation that they have gleaned from other people. But agents are the worst, and I'm not talking about the top flight agents. I'm talking about the street agents.
I know. How do we stop that?
That has been a debate for back in the 90s. Several states, including Alabama, I lived there at the time, tried to prosecute agents, and some of them were prosecuted successfully. But for the most part, there's not an appetite for this reason. When you consider all the stuff that is currently going on in the world, in communities, it's hard to get people fired up about going after someone who may have slipped a player $500 or $1,000 or more. And in the end, they usually get away with it.
Yeah, but if you don't get drafted, you're not allowed to come back.
Well, college basketball has, I think, the best system where you can test it. I can't remember how many days you have, but you can announce, and then you have a limited amount of time to reverse your decision. But in football, once you declare, it's pretty well over.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, it's done.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.